Here to talk some draft with us from NFL Media. Does a lot of great draft work for NFL.com and the network. Chad Ryder, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Chad, thanks so much for making some time for us today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for asking me to come on.
Yeah, we've been talking about so many possibilities for the Cardinals. Everybody seems to be zeroing in. You know, I get sucked into the mock drafts, I'll admit it. There's a lot of mock drafts with them going corner at 16. As you break it down right now, is that still maybe the most probable outcome for the Cardinals at 16 in your mind?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's interesting. A guy like Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech has probably become more likely to be available to them at 16 because he's having a procedure on his back. And if team doctors aren't, you know, afraid of long-term effects from that, he could be an excellent pick for them at 16. And if not, they could look at Greg Newsom from Northwestern. That wouldn't shock me at all if they selected him. So they have a couple of really good choices there at that pick.
What do you make of Caleb Farley's upside?
Well, I think he's really got a chance to be an excellent. You can play him on the line of scrimmage. You can play off. He's a very aggressive guy, but he's also got the height and overall athleticism you want at the position. So it's hard not to like that guy. He does a little bit of everything.
Talking to Chad Ryder of NFL Media here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Another name that pops up that I think is interesting, it might be a stretch at 16 for the Cardinals, especially after they go out and get James Conner yesterday, is Najee Harris, who's my favorite running back in this year's draft class. I see him projected a lot later in the 20 to 28 range going in the first round. Is there something I'm missing on Najee Harris? I think he's an incredible prospect. Is it just the devaluing of running backs that has him so low in these projections, Chad?
Yeah. I mean, I've had him in the 23 to 24 range, and I've thought about putting him, you know, before the Connor pickup, obviously. I considered him at 16 at one point, and then 18 at Miami as well. I think that's the range, the 16 to 24 range. Yeah, it's the devaluation of the position. We haven't seen him really work out, so we don't really know how fast he is. You know, if he went out there and put a 4.3 up, I think people would start sending him up to the mocks a little bit. But, you know, that's not the kind of back he necessarily is. He's just a really solid. Josh Jacobs went at 24 a couple years ago, and I think that's where people see that. Like, and then, of course, you've got, you know, quarterbacks and a lot of offensive tackles and a lot, you know, kind of we're really at the top of the draft this year. So that's it. But he's my favorite in this class. And I think, you know, he's going to be a real good find for somebody.
All right. Outside of Trevor Lawrence at number one, how do you handicap the next three quarterbacks in the draft?
Well, I think it's Zach Wilson at number two, without a doubt. He's been in that top five conversation since October, honestly. So then, you know, Mac Jones, I wouldn't have expected him. If the 49ers weren't picking third, I wouldn't put him that high. But, you know, he's, you know, if the Shanahans liked Kirk Cousins enough to draft him after, you know, being told to draft RG3, you know, years ago, and picking up Jimmy Garoppolo, similar kind of guy. So, you know, it makes sense if they like him at three. And then you've got, after that, Justin Fields and Trey Lance, I think, should both be top 10 picks, probably from trades. I think the Lions and Panthers are showing up at these workouts, but I would be surprised if either of them really wanted a quarterback, you know, are really willing to make that move this year. And I think Atlanta's the other one you got to look for. Trey Lance would actually be a great, well, either one of the guys would be a great fit for 2 years. But I think Matt Ryan is playing well enough, and I think he's still got 3 years left. If you can give him a Kyle Pitts at four, yeah, I think that's probably the way to go. So I think we're going to see a couple more deals in the 7 to 11 range for these other two quarterbacks.
So you think the run on quarterbacks ends at three? Because I've seen some people project four or five maybe going.
Yeah, I think Pitts and Sewell and Chase should be 4, 5, and 6. But look, if the Falcons take either Fields or Lance, I can't blame them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't expect to be picking that high again for a few years. So I can't blame them. But, you know, Pitts is a great talent. And guys, that top five guys don't typically fall out of the top five, right? I mean, they're elite guys. So I think at some point, the trading, there's going to be a gap where the quarterbacks go. And we see it all the times with Mahomes and Watson. They didn't go until 10 and 12.
Sure.
So, you know, at some point, those teams at the top of the draft want to stay there and pick the best players.
Chad Ryder, NFL draft analyst from NFL Media, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We've seen so much about the top five quarterbacks in Lawrence, Wilson, Jones, Fields, and Lance. Who do you have as the sixth quarterback, and where does he go?
Davis Mills from Stanford would be the sixth quarterback. I think he's a mid to late second round guy. Mm-hmm. He's a, you know, a solid guy, very, you know, it just sort of like a Jimmy Garoppolo, honestly, and that's where he went. You know, he's got a little bit of everything. He's not great at anything. You know, really, really good, solid guy that could potentially become a starter down the line, could work himself into that. But, you know, I think at some level, you know, would it shock me, for example, if the Patriots took him at 46? No, wouldn't shock me because, you know, he's the kind of guy maybe they like. But really, I think you're talking about Pittsburgh, you know, New Orleans at the end of the second round would be like the area that I'd see him going.
All right, some people look at Kyle Pitts and say that guy is going to be revolutionary, all that. Some people say you never trade up to the top six or whatever to get a tight end. Is he the anomaly? Is he good enough to warrant that kind of investment?
Yeah, because he's not just a tight end, like in the typical sense. You know, he's a pass catcher extraordinaire, is what you could call him. But to be honest, I don't see Atlanta or Cincinnati giving up their pick for somebody else to trade up and get him. Like I said, if you have a chance, most trades happen when you're at the breaking point of a tier of talent and a team has run out of the guys they think are elite talent or first round talent or second round talent, and they're willing to move out of that spot. I don't see that for Pitts or Sewell or Chase. So I don't think they are, but I think he's legit. You can put him at the slot receiver position. You can put him outside. You can put him wherever you want. He's not just a tight end. So I think he's a legitimate top six guy.
Chad, great stuff, man. Thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate your time and your analysis.